I paid him to say all of that this morning. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. That is the text, and I'm honored to serve you all by preaching this morning as we continue in our series, Unnatural, Living Supernaturally in a Natural World. And the title of today's message is this: Too Weak to Pray. Too weak to pray. And my hope is this, that when you hear that, you would think that that is good news by the end of this day. That you would think that is the best news that you've heard on any Sunday. Too weak to pray. So it's only fitting that we pray about it. Let me pray shortly. Father, we do love you. We adore you. We thank you for capturing us, for rescuing us, and redeeming us, for loving us. And so now, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me serve the bride that you love so dearly. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 26 and 27. And if you want to follow along, the scriptures will be on the screen. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but you can stay right here in Romans 8. All right, Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Let's stop right there. We need to stop to pause, to think, consider, but also celebrate this amazing truth that God at this very moment is helping us. That the God of the universe, the all-knowing, ever-present, all-seeing God, is actually involved in your life at this very moment. That his grace is so amazing, but what also amazes me is how easy we can miss it. That God actually helps us, a God that serves man. Think about that. When other belief systems is all about what man can do for God to gain God's attention, to get closer to him, but the God that we believe, the God that we preach, the God of the scripture says, no, instead of you trying to get to me, I came down and I got to you. A God that serves man. Now, some of us, when we think of our past and the things that we have gone through and experienced, maybe for you, that doesn't fit, or that doesn't seem like it's true. Or maybe you're like me sometimes in your current situation, maybe today, August 20th, 2017, you say, I don't see how this God is serving me. Maybe your future hopes and dreams have been shattered due to hard times and trials, and you don't see how God serves you. The crazy thing about truth is this. It could be staring you right in the face and you can still miss it. Why is that? Well, let's insert Jesus. God becomes man in flesh, truth in body, comes and says this, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And guess what? A lot of people didn't get it. Some of us say, well, Jesus, if you were just right here, I would believe. And he said, oh, I was right there and you put me on the cross. A God that serves us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. Listen, God wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to be powerfully involved in life. Maybe this truth is hard to believe, but sometimes I'm telling you, we have to just stop and pause and say, Father, thank you for helping me, because right now the only reason why I have air in my lungs is because it's a gift from you. So scripture says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Jesus comes. What was one of the names we see that they called Jesus early? Emmanuel, God with us. He does not want to be distant. He's not someone out there somewhere just sitting on a throne, letting the world turn just out of control. No, he wants to weave his way into what we call ourselves and what we find ourselves doing day after day. But listen to this morning. As we beautifully sung about him saving us. North Central, if God saved you, why do you still doubt that he wants to help you? It's almost like we think about the cross and we go, okay, yeah, he saved us. We get that. I know I couldn't save myself. But then sometimes even in my own mind, I doubt that he's actually concerned with what I'm going through at this present moment. So the question is this, if he saved us, why won't he help us? Our deepest weakness was sin. And did Jesus take care of that? How did he take care of that? By taking our sin upon himself, which we just sung. A cross that was meant to kill is our victory. So if he took care of our sin problem, our sin weakness, how much more will he take care of the things that seem minute? Not to minimize any of your pain, but listen, the sin problem was so much worse. Because it wasn't just our problem, but it was our offense against him. He took that on himself by living the life we couldn't, dying the death you and I deserved. And today he stands here through his word preached saying, I am here to help you. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, if you look at that, it goes down and says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do y'all see that? Listen to the Father's heart this morning. The gospel reminds you, if I'm willing to give my son, why would you doubt that my spirit is here to help? It's a beautiful thing. You see, the freedom the gospel offers us did not end at the cross. Yes, Jesus died. He was buried. He's dead. He rose again. But it doesn't stop there. When Jesus said, it is finished, he wasn't saying, I am finished. No, he does. He ascends at the right hand of the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends us the Holy Spirit. So let's get real practical with this. The disciples give their lives. They follow the God-man, Jesus, walking with him for 3 years. And then he finally begins to teach them, hey, it's time for me to go. You know what they were feeling? Now what? Afraid, scared, anxious. Emotions all of us at one time may have felt. Some of you might be feeling that at this very day. Well, now what? Now what do we do? And Jesus says something beautiful to comfort them, not just about everything's going to be okay, but a deep comfort. Listen how he speaks. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, it says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I love what Jesus does there. How does he frame, right? How does he name the Spirit of God in this text? The Helper. The Helper. Just like what Paul is pinning to the Romans here, right? See, Jesus, this is not an exaggeration or Jesus trying to be poetic. Sometimes we could look at the Bible and it seems so divine, so poetic. But I would tell you this, I believe Jesus being divinely practical. They have been with Jesus. Hey, if you're hungry, okay. Hey, why don't you go out and fish, and then I'll give you more fish that will sink your ships. Hey, you need to pay taxes? Well, let's do fish again, and a coin will come out and pay your taxes. Think about it. Jesus miraculously took care of every need and the needs around them. Oh, the blind will come to him? Okay, I'll make mud by spitting into dirt, wiping it on someone's face, and tell them to go wash it off, and they can see. Disciples saw all of that. He was not just God. He was their biggest resource, their biggest source of life. They really did live out Psalm 23 and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. They lacked nothing when they were in his presence. And now he says, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send you my spirit, and he will be the helper. And not only will he teach you, don't even worry about remembering what I've taught you, because he's going to bring those things back up to remembrance for you. Church, is his grace not amazing this morning? Is his grace not amazing this morning? So again, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us, but then it goes on, in our weakness. In our weakness. Okay, we established that God wants to help us because he cares for us, but there's even a deeper reason why. It says, in our weakness. Let's see what Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 5. It says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, sometimes, I don't know about you, but when you read the Bible, I think sometimes we assume certain tones. We assume certain ways that Jesus expressed what he had to say. But I remember my first time, my eyes coming across this text, I was shocked. Because the Jesus I was taught was just some nice guy who held sheep and babies and did nice things. And then I got to this text and it said this, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing of value, nothing of worth, apart from me. That can seem pretty bold statement to make. It can also come off pretty brash, but when we look at it, it's extremely beautiful. It's extremely beautiful. Why? Because what he told them earlier in John chapter 5, listen to this. John 5, 19 says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Did you see that connection? Do you see what Jesus is inviting them to? Let me replay it. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You could do nothing apart from me. But don't forget what I said earlier. I do nothing on my own will. I only do what I see my Father doing. Guess what Jesus is doing in that moment? When you hear Jesus tell you even today, in our weakness, in our frailty, in our finiteness, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's not him being bold for bold sake or being prideful for prideful sake. He doesn't have to be pride. Perfection doesn't have to boast because it's perfection. That's him actually doing this. He is inviting us to live like he lives, fully dependent on God. And listen to what this one preacher said. He said, a life that's fully surrendered to God, God takes full responsibility for. I don't know about you. I want God fully responsibility for my life. I want you to look at my life and go, God did that. Come on. When's the last time you allowed God to do something in your life that you can only blame him for? Come on. This is amazing stuff. So when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, he's inviting the disciples to live the same way he does, in his frailty as man, fully dependent on the Father. And this morning, in your weakness, allow the Spirit of God through the word being preached to say, how about you live completely vulnerable and dependent to me? Everything. Paul will go on later to say, everything you say, everything you do, even things that you eat, mundane tasks, do it unto the glory of God. Fully relying in him. North Central, let me encourage you today. Our weaknesses don't intimidate God or disqualify us from his help, but actually total dependency and trust in God is exactly what he desires from us. For some of you, you should have shouted and ran around a little bit. That's okay, though. That's okay. Seriously, think about that. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just think my weaknesses stop the work of God. And he says, Tim, you got to remember, your weaknesses and your faithfulness does not dictate mine. The Bible actually says, when you are faithless, I remain faithful. Come on, church. I'm sorry. I know it's 9 o'clock, but I'm excited. I don't drink coffee. I drink chocolate milk, and I had a little bit too much. Total dependency and trust in God is exactly what he desires from you. The question isn't if God wants to be involved. The question is not if the Spirit is here to help you. The question is, how are you actually willing to let God do the work that he desires to do in your heart? And what baffles me is this. By him saving you, he's already purchased you, so you might as well act right. That's why disobedience is foolish. That's like me getting into my car, and let's say my car can talk. I'm like, you're gonna start. No, I'm not. I own you. Yes, you will. But he's so patient, he's a loving father, that he actually lets us sort it out. Let's not forget, church, how our relationship with him was renewed. And that's why I love worship here. I was just sitting there saying, well, I need to pull myself together so I can come up here. Because you guys sing this good news. You sing about what Jesus has done for you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Church, what does that mean? That means that you and I today, we don't have to cower when faced with our weaknesses. We can choose to celebrate the grace of God in our lives that works in and through our weaknesses. Come on, church. Some of you are like, oh, Tim, I'm so weak. You know what I'm gonna say? Well, good job. Stay right there. Grace teaches us that God can handle things without human effort. Amen? Grace teaches us that he works apart from our work on our behalf for his glory. So the crazy thing about grace is this. God sometimes will bless you, what we say growing up, hook you up, not even because of you, but because of him. Are you kidding me? You know what the cross was? It wasn't just God just removing sin, but he actually, it was an exchange. He took our sin, we gained his righteousness, and so now the Father loves us in the same way he loves the Son. That is grace. And some of you are so weak, well, Tim, I don't deserve it. And I'm gonna lovingly tell you, you never deserved it. The moment you begin to think that you're deserving this is the moment I go, hoo, 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 wait. Just stay humble. I will argue that sometimes God does his best work when we are weak. Why? That way we don't try to get in his way or take credit for what he does. And that's what Ephesians is saying. We don't boast because we didn't save ourselves. Well, church, especially for our saints who've been walking with the Lord even longer than I've been alive, you who began in the spirit work, don't try to fulfill it now in the flesh in your own strength. The gospel reminds us that when we could do nothing for ourselves, when we were at our worst, it wasn't our best efforts that saved us. It was a gift from God that saved us. So let's look at verse 26 again. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I believe you got that down. It goes on, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. So what Paul does here, which is really brilliant, he now is going to highlight a certain weakness, which is prayer. He speaks on that. Prayer, this practical yet powerful way we commune with God. The crazy thing about prayer is this. We can't even pray, according to this text, apart from God's help. We can't even do that. And that's good news. That's good news. So in what ways do the Holy Spirit help us when we pray? In prayer, in our weaknesses. Well, verse 26 goes on to say this in Romans 8, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Too deep for words. Now, this may seem odd or this may seem strange, but hear me out. If this text is true, what I'm about to say is true. In helping us, God the Spirit prays to God the Father for your good. Some of y'all, wake up, please. Oh, so you just got this down. That just made sense to you. You figured out the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. Come on. God is actually glorified by sending us the Spirit that prays to the Father on your behalf. So some of you, the prayers and the blessings that you are living in, you've never prayed them. Yeah, prayer warrior, I'm talking to you too. War room people, I'm talking to you too. Does God love those and reward those who diligently seek him? Yes, but we can't even diligently seek him without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the crazy thing about the Spirit of God is that he's actually praying things, interceding on our behalf to the Father, and we are living in prayers and blessings that we've never uttered out of our mouths. Is that not a miracle? Where I grew up, we used to say, I had a praying grandmother. But we have a praying spirit. I know this may be hard to understand. I know this may be hard to figure out, but let me remind you of this truth. God doesn't need us to figure out how he works. He just says, trust that I'm working. Maybe that's where you are today in prayer. Some of us right now, you're trying to figure out how prayers work. What does this mean? How does he hear? And he just says, it's not about your ability, it's about who you're talking to. I'm fully able, I'm fully capable. Isn't it a miracle, church? I know we may take this for granted, that right now all of us can pray at the same time and God hears each and every one of them clearly. But still, I'm at this text and I was praying about, I was kind of struggling with, what does it mean these groanings too deep for words? So the kind of the caption I put under is like, let's see the deep work of the Spirit in this text. Let's see it throughout the whole Bible. It goes on to say in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law so that they might receive adoptions as sons. Watch this. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Tim, what does all that mean? I will argue that this, that in prayer, as you cry, as you groan, as you long after God, there's actually a real and deep connection with the Spirit. He's actually assisting you in this, and the scriptures go on to say he's actually causing it. Some of you, your weaknesses, I'm telling you, you're heading in the right direction. What do I mean by that? God is light. So as we follow him, the process of sanctification, him conforming us into the image of his son, guess what he would do because he loves us? He will begin to reveal darkness. Don't run from that. You're headed in the right direction. Some of you say, well, Tim, man, I struggle praying and I really want to pray more. I really do. And I go, you know what? God is already working because you wouldn't even really want to pray apart from the Spirit doing that. It's the Spirit inside of us that's longing for this Abba Father, this relationship, because now that we have been adopted into this family, he didn't just give us a new heart, but he put his Spirit in us. Where is that? Ezekiel 36, 26, 27, it says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Listen to this, church, even in our obedience to God, the things that we say we are good at, it is largely owed to the Spirit's work in our lives. And that is fantastic. That is fantastic. Let's put all this together, okay? So Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, okay? But the Spirit himself, what does he do? He intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 27, Romans 8, it says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes, here we go again, for the saints according to the will of God. Hopefully this morning you're starting to see a theme with this 2 week to pray. A lot of times when you get into prayer teachings on prayer or books on prayer, is 100%, well not 100%, but a lot of times it's all about our role in prayer. Have we ever stopped to think about God's role in prayer? And how big that is? Do you guys actually see Father, Son, and Spirit through these texts this morning? Working on our behalf? The text today could encourage us if we stop to see what they're declaring. Let me make it real practical. God is saying this, I'm here to help. Two, you don't even know what to pray for as you should. Know why? Because you don't know everything. I do. So my Spirit will pray to me through you in ways and words that are too deep for you. And as I search your heart, I know what I will find because I put my Spirit there. Come on, church. Come on, I know the mind of the Spirit and that I put in you that intercedes for you according to do my wishes for your good. Some of you are like, Tim, I don't know how to get prayer right. I say, stop getting prayer right and talk to the Father. Tim, I don't know what to pray for. I don't care. Wandering mind, wandering heart, just go for it. See what happens. Again, God's role in prayer is our focus. Let's see this all throughout scripture. 1 John 5, 13 through 15. John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, remember what we just read, praise God, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. Let me make sense of this. I used to read this text as a pastor and go, so the key is to know the will of God so that when you pray it, he's going to hear you, he's going to do it. But then Paul says, oh, wait a minute. The Spirit of God is already praying on your behalf and he knows exactly what my will is. This is good. This is so good. I don't have to figure out God's will. People going around, especially young people, you're like, what is God's will for my life? It's his will. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to be obedient and talk to him. Okay, I'm running out of time. All right, watch. The biggest way, watch this, to have confidence while you pray, church, is to rightly place your confidence in the one you're praying to. It's to rightly place your confidence in the one that you are praying to. Our confidence in prayer should be in who we are talking to, not what we are talking about. Stop trying to get prayer right because you're already talking to the right person. I have a daughter who's 3 years old, and I have a son that's one. Do you think they get together, have a consultation meeting before they come up to me and ask me for things? My son expects me to know his language. I sit there as a gracious father. I do that. Why is that? Even nature shows us, man, this parent-child relationship is just total dependency. But then sometimes as Christians, the older we get or the wiser we think we have to get all these things right. And God is telling you today, I'm here to help you in your weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4, watch this, verses 14 through 16. Says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what are you supposed to do today? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is your role? Just go to him. He's so available. He wants to help. When we pray to God, we talk about the Father listening. We talk about the Spirit praying. But we also can't forget about Jesus who made all these things available to us. It says that he can sympathize with us. You don't whine. He doesn't look at your prayers and requests as you annoying him, but he meets you there. He hears you. He's patient with you. And he's actually pleading a case to the Father on your behalf as well. Man, if we actually begin to understand just Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, when we have times of prayer to come, I'm telling you, that's probably one of the most powerful things that already took place during this service. And it's not because of the person standing here, and it's not because of the oil they may have, or it's not because of the weakness that you may have, but the God of the Bible is not just Jesus who just came, died, rose, and ascended. He's given us his Spirit, and he is present today. So, Tim, what is my role? You've been talking about God a lot. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to talk about God a lot. What is my role in prayer? Jesus, multiple times, the writers of Scripture, multiple times said, ask. Ask, ask, ask. Well, it must be deeper than that. Yeah, it's so deep you won't get it. That's why you need the Spirit. Well, Tim, I want to go deep. Okay, ask. Ask. Because it takes a humble person in their weakness to seek the throne of grace in their time of need. You say, Tim, maybe I have a wandering heart. Or a wandering mind, or not knowing what to say. Again, today, you are too weak to pray, so your response should be this, ask, 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 ask. Keep talking, keep talking. Some people say, well, Tim, be practical. What if my mind's just going all over the place? Pray whatever comes into your mind. God, I thank you for my family. God, I thank you for my kids. I pray that you would save them. God, yes, that is on Netflix. I get to watch that later. Whatever comes into your mind, because some of you try to get prayer right, right? You go, ooh, I got to stop that so I can pray, and you got to do it. No, just pray everything. He can sort it out. We're laughing because we've been there. We almost stop praying so that we can start praying again, right? Give him everything. Why? Jesus says, before you even ask, I know what you need, so your words can be few. because some people think that God hears them because of the many words that they use. But they just want to be looked at. But the person who knows that the Father is in every detail, he's intimate and he's a part of their lives, they'll just ask and they'll keep asking. No matter if their hearts are wandering, if their minds are gone over the place, Tim, I just can't get focused. Well, that's your weakness. And I'm here today to tell you that the Spirit wants to help you in that. In closing, I must put not a disclaimer, but something that the text continues to say. If you notice these great promises, the Spirit prays for us. Jesus, it says, intercedes for us. He is really specific about us. He's not talking about the world. He's saying the saints. The saints. There is an advantage to having God in your life. Amen. But the great thing is this. Maybe you're here today and been here for a while. Maybe you're a guest or a returning guest, and maybe you're exploring. You don't know where you are with Jesus. The crazy thing is the invitation that he gave the disciples to abide and to live in him, he still gives that invitation to you today. He could be the priest for you that can go where you can't go and help you when you can't help yourself. And you may be here today and saying, well, Tim, if you knew who I was, I'm not worthy of that. And I will say, you're closer to grace than you think. The moment you know that you're not worthy, the moment you know that you're not deserving it, I would say that's the Father drawing you close so that you can see who is worthy, who has paid the price for you already. Amen. Already. So this morning, I invite you, if that's you, to be a part of what you've heard earlier, the family of God. I invite you. Yes, sinful, disobedient, the thoughts, the actions, the inactions, the words, I invite you to accept this grace, to understand, like, Tim, maybe I'm even too weak to pray this. Well, we want to help you. We want to help you. And to the believer, hopefully you are encouraged to see the promises of God, because Jesus, everything he says, he does. His say-do ratio is 1-1. And hopefully Paul's letter to the Romans, maybe the Spirit of God done something in your heart, in your mind, to make you think, wow, it's good news that I may be even weak in this area, but God, in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we pause now, believing that you hear us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son for us. Father, we thank you for sending your Spirit to fill us. And as a church, we just pause and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are faithful today. And also, Father, as the family of God, we pray for those who don't know you, those who are searching, maybe not even looking for you at all. Father, in this moment, would you draw them to the Son? Father, would you show them how real you are? Would they run to you and not from you? Father, I pray in this room that you would give someone the boldness to have that conversation. Maybe it's to meet with one of us afterwards. Maybe it's to go to Discover North Central. Whatever it is, God, please, God, pray that you would give them the boldness, Spirit of God, to make that next step, because you've already come down to get them. Father, we love you. We thank you for listening to us. And we thank you for your word, allowing us to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. And everyone said,